pull up Pastor Hain here and get this up here, because I kind of like that there.
Yeah.
If my leg is going to blow off midway through. So I am, don't know why, but I'm very nervous about today's message.
Amen. Help him, God.
Yes, sir.
So I'm going to ask, well, Kyle, would you pray over this message?
Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for all that are in attendance and for those that that intended to be here and through happenstance are not, but they're here in spirit. God, be with them. God is... As Peter's already admitted, his nerves are rattled, and God, to hold your light. God, help him, steady his nerves, give him confidence in your word. Bless those that are here listening through the internet or in person. Help him to walk with you. In Jesus Christ's precious and holy name we pray. Amen.
So I'll start with this because a few people have commented on my tie. This is a social experiment for me since I'm not the greatest teacher, and people know that about me. I put on this tie because it says school bus, so people might assume mentally that I know what I'm doing.
Poor teachers.
Thank you, Johnny. No, I had thought God wanted me to teach on something else, but, and I would say, I've told other people, oh, God changed the message, but God didn't change the message on me on Friday. He gave me the message on Friday. Well, what I thought, I don't know, am I supposed to do that, or what I'm going to teach on today? And then Saturday, God confirmed it to me, because I asked him to. I prayed to God that evening. I'm like, look, God, I don't know which one I'm supposed to teach on. I'm like, so tomorrow, would you show me when I wake up? And I was reading Matthew 6, because that's where I am in my reading. So I'll read that and tell you how it confirmed to me what I'm supposed to teach on today. So Matthew 6. I'm just going to read the whole chapter because it's a good chapter. So Matthew 6. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. So, it's talking about saved folk, because it's your Father in heaven.
Right.
Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as thy hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Which that is, I believe it's Jesus gives that story of the man who stood in the synagogue, prays out loud, the Pharisee there,
yeah,
and the publican,
right,
who's just beating his chest. And Jesus said, the Pharisee had his reward. Where's the publican? Praying, God, I'm a wicked man. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Which, I don't know if you are all guilty of this. I know I am. I like to sound eloquent when I speak, especially if I'm praying in public. But that's not how I pray to God in private. If I pray to God in private, it's very uncouth, I guess you would say.
It's, hey, it's me again, I screwed up, help.
That's exactly how I do it. Be ye not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if we forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you, forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily, I say unto you, that they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head, and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought of the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So today, which you probably don't get it just from me reading that, I'm going to be speaking on boasting. Because what did all the beginning of that talk about, the hypocrites in the synagogue who boast of themselves, pray out loud and everything? And I have no general rhyme or order or reason for how I have these verses placed, so y'all can put them together. I'm just going to read them out and give my thoughts on them, things God has showed me on them. Not my thoughts, I hope. I hope they're God's thoughts on them.
Amen.
But we're going to start with something that Timmy had told me that Mike had told him, so... This show from two Asquiths from a Vernon. So take it as you will. We're going to go to 1 Kings 2:11. Y'all should be thankful I looked at my notes before I came up here, because I found out that I miswrote a few references, and that would have been bad again if I did it. So 1 Kings 2:11. That one more. Well. Oh.
Nice.
I did it again. Don't worry, I have a backup. This is why I write my notes down twice. 2011. I just want to lose you guys on the very first verse so you never have to see if I'm saying the correct thing or not. This is talking about Ben-Hadad, which there's a bunch of you that have Ben-Hadad here. There, that's the one for the day. So he's just telling Israel that he's going to defeat them. He's bragging on himself and everything, boasting. And the king of Israel answered and said, tell him, let not him that girdeth on his harness boast himself as he that putteth it off. So let's go to Proverbs, which if Mike and Timmy remember any of their conversations together, they might know what I'm getting at here. Proverbs 25:14. Yes. Proverbs 25:14. Whoso boasteth himself of a false gift is like clouds and wind without rain. We're going to go one more place before I bring up what they've told me and which I agree with from Pastor Vernon. We're going to go to James 3. You're all going to get there before me. It's right before Peter, so. I know this because everyone says Peter, James, and then I say, oh, well, we got to flip it because that's what God did in the Bible, so James, Peter. James 3, 4 through 6. James 3, 4 through 6. Behold, also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it set on fire of hell, and it is set on fire of hell. Which, if you've heard me speak, that was my life before salvation, even sometimes after. My tongue being set on fire of hell. But I want to talk about and boasteth great things. And Pastor Vernon had told people in his church, and Mike told Timmy, and Timmy told me, that if you're saying you've been delivered from something, and you're boasting to everyone that you're delivered from that thing, and then you're not, you need to let those people know. Because at that point, you're a liar to them. Your tongue is set on fire of hell. So, that's just the first thing I have, and that's the first thing I wrote down. Hopefully it gets nicer from there. Because that hurts me. Because I'm one of those people. I like to talk about the good times. Hate to bring up the bad times. Now we're going to go. I hope we have enough time to do all of these. Going to read a lot of Psalms and in their entirety, so we're going to go to Psalms 10. This psalm is talking a lot about the devil. If you don't believe me, just listen as I read or read it yourself. And if that's not the devil, I don't know what is. Psalm 10. Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desires and blesseth the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth. So right there, something I never really thought about. The devil blesses people. It's not a good thing. It says right there he does. I mean, if you believe that is the devil, which I do, because it's going to bring up later on more concrete facts than just what I've read so far, but blesses a covetous person. We've all seen it, wicked men. They get things in life that you're like, man, they're doing quite well for themselves. But what is all that but vanity?
Right.
Let's see, where was I? 4. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all of his thoughts. I've spoken on that before, temperance. His ways are always grievous. The judgments are far above out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he puffeth at them. He hath said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. He sitteth in the lurking places of the villages. In the secret places doth he murder the innocent. His eyes are privily set against the poor. He lieth in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lieth in wait to catch the poor. He doth catch the poor when he draweth him into his net. He croucheth and humbleth himself, that the poor may fall by the strong ones. He hath said in his heart, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face. He will never see it. Arise, O Lord, O God, lift up thine hand. Forget not the humble. Which I'll stop there for a second, but what is humble? The opposite of boasting. You think you're humble if you're boasting on yourself? Look what I've done.
Right.
Look at me. You've done nothing except by God, which I'll get into that later.
That's right.
Hopefully. Which if it ever seems like I'm running out of time and all of a sudden it seems like I just jumped to boasting on God, know that I ran out of time. Where was I? 13. Wherefore doth the wicked contemn God? He hath said in his heart, thou wilt not require it. Thou hast seen it, for thou beholdest mischief and spite to requite it. With thy hand the poor committeth himself unto thee. Thou art the helper of the fatherless. Break thou the arm of the wicked, and the evil man seek out his wickedness, till thou find none. The Lord is king forever and ever. The heathen are perished out of his land. Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear, to judge the fatherless, to the oppressed, that the man of the earth may no more oppress. Says it right there. The humble, thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear. If you're humble and not boasting of yourself, God will hear you in your prayers. So if you don't have God in your prayers, like many times myself where I pray, and I pray in that vain repetition, it's because I've not humbled myself before God. So if you ever find yourself in that place, and you want to get back to God, because I know sometimes when you're in that place, last thing you want to do is get back to God, humble yourself before him.
Right.
Go to his feet. Maybe if you go to his feet, he'll let you get to the hem of his garment. Maybe if you get to the hem of his garment, he'll let you see him face to face. But it all starts with humbling yourself before God. Now we're going to jump, talk about some riches here. Psalm 49. I say that because I literally have just the word riches written next to this psalm. So we'll see what's inside of it. Psalm 49, to the chief musician, a psalm for the sons of Korah. Hear this, all ye people, give ear, all ye inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. So the rich can humble themselves. It says it right there. My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. I will incline my ear to a parable. I will open my dark saying upon the harp. Wherefore should I fear in the days of evil, when the iniquity of my heels shall compass me about? They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches. Again, that's what a lot of people put in. And a lot of us don't even have a lot of money, but we put faith in our money.
Yeah.
We have so little money, but that's what we're going to put our trust in instead of God.
Right.
Who, I had said it, read it earlier when it talks about the lilies of the field and everything there. God can do all that. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, yet we decide we're going to make the money. We don't need God.
Right.
None of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. Right there. People think they can do that. You think you can bring someone to salvation. Especially with mine. We know people who think just because what they give, that's salvation. It's not salvation. That means the widow with her mite. Or two mites, is it? When she gave those, she didn't give as much as the other men. But by that definition, she wouldn't be saved because she didn't give enough.
Right.
It's a foolish thing to think. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth sorry, forever, that he should still live forever and not see corruption. For he seeth that wise men die likewise, the fool and the brutish person perish and leave their wealth to others. The brutish person. It describes a wealthy person as brutish. One who dies without Christ. It even says they'll leave their wealth to others. Their inward thought is that their house shall continue forever and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. Which, how many places do we know like that?
Yeah.
Where a wealthy man will name it after himself.
Sure.
And then in many, like a Pennsylvania, I forget the man's name, which is kind of the point I'm getting at, named all Pennsylvania after him and his family.
Yep.
What's the man? William Penn. One person here knows it. What did that bring him? He thought he was going to get a bunch of honor from that, and his family doesn't even own it anymore.
Right.
Nevertheless, man being in honor abideth not. He is like the beasts that perish. This their way is their folly, yet their posterity approve their saying, Selah. Like sheep, they are laid in the grave. Death shall feed on them, and the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning, and their beauty shall consume in the grave from their dwelling. So why are you worried about your looks when in the grave it's just going to go away anyway? And for most people, it's before the grave. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me, Selah. Jesus Christ. Be not thou afraid when one is made rich, when the glory of his house is increased. For when he dieth, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. It's kind of funny, he uses the word descend.
Right.
Where is he going? Though while he lived, he blessed his soul, and men will praise thee when thou doest well to thyself. He shall go to the generation of his fathers. They shall never see light. Man that is in honor and understandeth not is like the beast that perish.
Right.
Now we're going to go to Psalm 52. If you're like me, it's just across to the other page. Psalm 52. To the chief musician, a maskil, a psalm of David, when Doeg the Edomite came and told Saul and said unto him, David is come to the house of Ahimelech. Why boastest thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually. Thy tongue deviseth mischief like a sharp razor, working deceitfully. Thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than to speak righteousness, Selah. Thou lovest all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue. God shall likewise destroy thee forever. He shall take thee away and pluck thee out of thy dwelling place and root thee out of the land of the living, Selah. The righteous also shall see and fear and shall laugh at him. Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. What's wicked about that man? He put the abundance he had gotten in life, those things of life, before God.
Mm-hmm.
And the saints of God says we'll laugh at them in the end. They'll fear and laugh. Because God is a fearful God. What is fear? But the beginning of knowledge. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it, and I will wait on thy name, for it is good before thy saints.
Amen.
Now, we're going to go to Acts. Jumping into a different portion. Like I said, this stuff connects in my mind. I don't know if I'll ever be able to connect it in yours because of the way I speak. But just take these verses, search them out, see what God shows you. This is just what God has showed me, and he has not showed me the half of it. So we're going to go Acts 5, 36 through 42. For before these days rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone, for if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. And to him they agree, when they had called the apostles and beat them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Shows kind of a juxtaposition there That's a nice Bible word. Don't look it up. But talks about that man, the Dais, and Judas, says they're same men, but they boasted of themselves. If you see a man boasting of himself, clearly of himself, God says, don't follow those men. Because what happened to the men that followed them? They were slain and scattered about. That's all I got for there. That's all God showed me for there. Maybe he wanted to show me more, and maybe my pride got in the way, which is highly likely for me, because if you know anything about me, which hopefully you don't, hopefully it's only God and me, but Romans 2, 16 through 29. I don't have this one marked with a fancy little note next to it, so I have no idea what's in this one, but I'm sure it will come back to me. Romans 2, 16 through 29. If you think I'm being really honest, whatever. It's just what God showed me, the things, and he showed me it once, he showed me it twice, because I go through my notes two or three times, just because I do things like forget to write the reference correctly, and then I still forget that when I get up here, as we've seen. So Romans 2, 16 through 29. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel, behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instruction of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hast the form of knowledge, and of the truth in the law. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? It's a question. There's a question mark right after it. Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. For circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law, but if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. This is talking about at a more spiritual level. It's not just physical, because you can't uncircumcise someone, but spiritually you can. It says it right there. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not the uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter in circumcision dost transgress the law? For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. So we'll go back here. Those men boast of God. And then he's asking, but are you obeying those things you teach on?
Good.
Which I can tell you, honestly, everything I've ever preached on, taught on, I've been a hypocrite in this pulpit. I've been a hypocrite in every pulpit I've been in, on those things I teach and preach on. And that's to my own shame. But we're going to go to 2 Timothy. This is the one I found today that I'd miswrote, so you're welcome on there. But... oh, I got like a few minutes left, so we're probably going to do a random jump. Because I want to get to two separate parts, but yeah, let's just jump back to the Psalms. Look at 2 Timothy 3, read it all the way through. See if you can figure out my thoughts. If you can't, come ask me. Pastor Hain, I broke one of your rules. I let them know that I skipped some verses.
Oh, yeah.
So Psalm 34. All I put here for my little cliff note next to it was, soul, boast on the Lord. So let's see what I meant by that. Psalm 34, a psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Are you blessing the Lord today? Are you boasting on God? This is one of those times that God says boasting is a good thing. When you're boasting on God, not yourself. Too many people, they try to boast on God. For those who are listening on the phone, I used air quotes, so. But they boast on God, but they're really boasting of themselves. Mm-hmm. They go like things like, yeah, I got victory in this. Yep. Yep, there was a victory in it. What did I start this whole thing out with? Did God give you that victory? Are you really truly away from that thing? Or is it just a boast? Is it a false thing in your life? I'm not going to read that whole psalm, even though I wanted to, but we're going to go to Psalm 44. There's a lot of good stuff in the Psalms. I don't say that just because Brother McVeigh has taught on the Psalms. I say that because of the things God has showed me. In the Psalms, it's just a large book and has a lot of the thoughts of Jesus Christ in it. So Psalm 44, we're going to go 1 through 8. To the chief musician for the sons of Korab, Maskil. We have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us what work thou didst in their days in the times of old, how thou didst drive out the heathen with thy hand and plantedest them, how thou didst afflict the people and cast them out. For they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but thy right hand and thine arm and the light of thy countenance, because thou hadst a favor unto them. Thou art my king, O God, command deliverance of Jacob, or command deliverances for Jacob. Through thee will we push down our enemies, through thy name will we tread them under that rise up against us. For I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. But thou hast saved us from our enemies, and hast put them to shame, that hated us. In God we boast all the day long, and praise thy name forever. The reason I wasn't going to read this whole psalm is, I have yet to get full understanding of the next portion of it, because they go into a pretty rough time if you read through there. But at the end, they still boast on God. They said they're boasting on God all the day long. Do we boast on God all the day long, or we down and out, we disfigure our faces, make ourselves look sad? Oh, I'm just having a rough time. You can ask Timmy, I just went through 2 weeks of that. Acting like a sad little puppy. But I thank God that God has put people in my life who can help me out of those situations.
Amen. Thank God.
And I'm gonna actually read some on that. Sure, I'll just use an extra few minutes. The kids aren't coming out. Y'all can deal with it. Pastor's not here to yell at me, so let's go to Proverbs 27. Man, the time flies. Proverbs 27. I won't have time to go through all the references I have with this too. I can just talk a little bit about it with Paul talking to the Corinthians, and this is 2 Corinthians, where Paul boasts on the Corinthians a lot. But it comes after 1 Corinthians, where Paul hits them pretty hard. But boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips. Right there. God says other people will praise you. If you live the way you should, people will praise you.
Right.
We've heard that. I don't want your head to grow big, Mr. Moore. But
it's already there, buddy.
I can tell. I can see it. But many of us who are in his Sunday school class boast on him.
Right.
She's not here, but Mrs. Asquith, I boast on her behind her back, never to her face.
No.
No, but that is something. It tells you later on in this chapter, I believe, that you should tell them. Speak to them. You don't have to do it all the time to try to blow them up. That's something I do struggle with. I struggle with complimenting people, if you all have never noticed. Thank you, Johnny. I know I'm so kind to you up at the house, you and Samantha. A stone is heavy and the sand weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than them both. Wrath is cruel and anger outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? Open rebuke is better than secret love, which that's going to 2 Corinthians, what I want, or 1 Corinthians, into 2 Corinthians. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. The full soul loatheth in honeycomb, but the hungry soul ever bitter Every bitter thing is sweet, which Timmy spoke on that on Thursday. Is your soul full? What's it? Are you full? Full of what? If I was Pastor Vernon, I'd say something, but we'll just imagine what he would say.
Amen.
As a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake neither go into thy brother's house in the day of thy calamity, for better is a neighbor that is near than a brother far off. My son, be wise and make my heart glad that I may answer him that reproacheth me. A prudent man foresee the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Take his garment that is surety for a stranger and take a pledge of him for a strange woman. He that blesseth his friend with a loud voice rising early in the morning and it shall be counted a curse to him. A continual dropping in a very rainy day and the contentious woman are alike. Amen, Samantha. You spoke on that the other day. Yeah. She'll remember it again someday. Whosoever... I'm not saying that to call her out, anyone. She has spoken on that. It was a very good thing she had said. Amen. Whosoever hideth her hideth the wind and the ointment of his right hand, which bereath itself. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof, so he that waiteth on his master shall be honored. As in water face answereth to face, so the heart of man to man. Pastor Vernon just spoke on that too, that message had us. Listen to, you asked me to listen to, Timmy, which most people should listen to, which you should. Go to One Soul at a Time. Go to Living Waters Baptist Church and listen to the August message. But he just brings up how heart speaketh to heart and mind to mind. So if you really want to preach to people, preach those things in your heart, not those things in your mind. Because we can all intellectually get things from each other.
Right.
But that won't help us in the end. Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. Ain't that the truth? As the finding pot for silver and the furnace for gold, so is a man to his praise. Though thou shouldest bray a fool in mortar among wheat with a pestle, yet will not his foolishness depart from him. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and to look well to thy herds, for riches are not ever, and doth in the crown endure to every generation. The hay appeareth, and the tender grass showeth itself, and herbs of the mountains are gathered. The lambs are for thy clothing, and the goats the price of the field. And thou shalt have goats' milk enough for thy food, for the food of thy household, and for the maintenance for thy maidens. This is just talking the whole time about reproving your friends. You see them doing foolish things, help them. Talks about that bird away from its nest. Most dangerous place for a bird is away from its nest. I very seldomly find a dead bird in its nest or anywhere near its nest.
Right.
But if you go to 2 Corinthians, which we're not going to go there because I don't have time, Paul talks about that with the Corinthians and talks about how they had obeyed him when he had rebuked them. And he was able to boast on them to those people. He was sending people there to prove his boast. And then I'll just paraphrase this final one because I don't have this stuff memorized. But in Isaiah, it talks about, shall the axe boast on itself? Shall the staff boast on itself? And if you listen to it, many different times, God refers to our members as implements. And yet we're willing to boast on ourselves, what we have done, what my hands have done, but it's what God has done. What has God done with your hands? Because can a tool use itself? No. So if you're a tool of God, he'll use you. But if you decide to boast on yourself, you're just going to be a useless tool sitting somewhere. I'm done. Thank you, Pastor.
Amen. School bus work, Peter.
Thank you. Just got to trick him a little.